Welcome to Imprint, a podcast about creating a home and life you love. I'm Natalie Walton, and each week I'm sharing insights and interviews about the creative process to help encourage and inspire you wherever you're at on your journey. Before we start today's episode, I want to let you know that I've created a free mini styling masterclass if you'd like to learn how to transform your home with confidence. I will share the three foundations to create a home you love without making unnecessary mistakes or spending money when you don't need to. Plus, if you join me for this free training, I'll be offering a bonus on how to declutter and organize your home. You'll get all the details on how you can access this bonus when you join me for this mini styling masterclass. All you have to do is register at nataliewalton.com/mini styling masterclass. That's nataliewalton.com/mini styling masterclass. Hello everyone, I hope that you're all well. Today I want to introduce you to Nicoletta Romay. She is someone that I got to meet through my course, The Styling Masterclass, and I really love her work and I've loved seeing it evolve over time and how by really sort of believing in yourself and taking action and taking steps, what you can make happen. So come and listen to our conversation. Hello, Nicoletta. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. I know that this is not the sort of thing that you normally do, so I'm extra appreciative, as well as the fact that English is not your native tongue. But I know that you have got so much to share, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So welcome. And I'm going to start with just finding out a little bit more about you. So I guess I came into contact with you through my course, The Styling Masterclass, and yes. I love the work that you have created through that. And it's been interesting to see your journey since then and some of the things that you've gone on to do. So let's go back though to your upbringing, your childhood. And can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and the type of childhood you had? Like, did you grow up in a city? Were your parents creative? Where does this creativity come from?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. It's true. I never do these things. I never recorded a podcast. I'm actually usually a podcast listener. So it feels quite weird to be talking to your podcast right now. But anyway, so I'm Italian. I was born and raised in Sicily, in a very small town by the seaside. And I moved, when I finished my studies, I moved to Milan to study marketing and communication. When I was actually during high school, actually my dream was to study architecture. But then, you know, at the end, I followed what was the trend at that time. And the trend was, in fact, to study communication and marketing. And it looked like there was a lot of future and a lot of job positions in that field, in that business. And so I said, okay, forget about architecture. I will follow this path instead. And so, yeah, I moved to Milan. That's where I studied. And at the same time, I worked because my university was like giving us opportunity to have internship every single year. So, and that's how I started to work in fashion. Basically, I had a lot of experiences in press offices. In public relations agency, and everything was about just fashion. So I was in that industry for, I would say, like 4 years. I also had 1 year when our university sent us abroad. So I spent like almost a year in London, studying and working at the same time, always the same. field, always the same thing. So basically, my background is more taking care of press releases, fashion shows, and, you know, launch of new shops and everything that, you know, it involves a press office. Where my creativity comes from, I don't know. Okay, I have to say that I always loved art and drawing, and I drew a lot when I was in high school. But no, my parents are not creative. I have to say that probably this one comes from my mother. She always loved interiors, so her home, our home, was always very curated. My father was in the flower business, so yeah, that's it.
No, it's interesting. I mean, I'm always fascinated to hear how people kind of get the creative bug, or, you know, the bug for interiors in terms of the passion for it, where it comes from. So then, like I said, I mean, we met through my course, but did you then do? You were then living in Bangkok or in Thailand. What happened between leaving Milan and getting to Bangkok, and then creating this beautiful home in Thailand?
Yeah, a lot of things happened because when I was in my last years of university, I met my future husband, and it's funny because we were not even living in the same cities, in the same city. I was in Milan and he was in Tuscany, and it was really like that kind of occasional meetings that you met somebody else through friends in common. And so anyway, we ended up we lived together in Italy for about a year. And then he said, when he graduated, he took his degree in economics, he said, well, you know, I have my family business in Thailand, and my family lives there, because he's Italian, but he grew up here in Thailand. So he said, I'm going to move. I'm going to go back there and work there. And so I basically took the chance. I quit everything, and I said, okay, why not? I did this choice because actually I was planning, before meeting him, I was planning with another friends to move to America, exactly to Miami, just to have, you know, different work experience abroad. So my mind was already set to leave Italy and go abroad, but not Asia. I mean, it was completely not in my mind, not in my list. For me, Asia was something like it could, you know, really far away from my culture, from my travels. And I have to be honest, I went to the world map, and I have to look, where's Thailand? Let me see, because I really never consider in my life the tropics from the east side. So we moved together, and it was you know, I was very young. I was 24 at that time, and it was a kind of cultural shock for me, first because of the local language. Of course, I didn't speak at all, and so that was an obstacle for me at the beginning. And then everything was different. I mean, I grew up in Italy. I'm from Europe, so you can imagine all the barriers between those two big cultures and countries. But, you know, at the same time, as I said, I was young. So I guess I had a very open-minded and also an adventurous spirit, you know, adventurous heart. And so I took this opportunity to try something new. So what I did in the first 3 years was, because I quickly realized that I couldn't follow the same career that I was going to have in Italy. So, and this one was mainly because of the language. Of course, if you need to work on a press office, you need to write press releases. So if you're not fluent in the language, you just cannot do it. So I quickly say, okay, this is not something I can continue to do here. And so I started to take Thai lessons anyway, just to survive to daily situations. And it was.
Can I just ask you? Sorry. Yeah. Can I just ask you? So, is your husband? So you said your husband, his family had a business in Thailand. So is he like, or his family origin Thai? Is that his background, or they just had a business there?
No. They just moved from Italy to set up a business here.
Wow, gosh, you don't think of necessarily Italian people moving to Thailand. I mean, I know that you went for your partner, but it's so different. It's like, you know, the food even I'm thinking about.
Yeah, everything. It was, you know, his father was kind of a pioneer. Because he moved in 1983, so at that time Thailand was really, really different. How is it today? Now it's really modern, and you have access to many things that more than 30 years ago you didn't have.
And did your partner or your husband, did he speak fluent Thai?
He took some lesson back when he came back here, because he needed to improve his writing and his reading for, you know, documents, to read documents at work. But you know, he came here when he was four. He never learned Thai, so he basically picked this language from the environment he was living in. He always said to me, you know, the only TV I could watch at was in Thai. We didn't have the option on demand, you know, whatever you wanna now download. That was the TV, and it was in the local language. So I watched cartoons in that language, and so yes.
Can I just ask you one more question? So what industry was the business in? So I'm just curious.
They produce PVC, basically.
Okay, so it's like manufacturing.
Manufacturing, I was saying that I took Thai lessons, and then at the same time I was also teaching Italian to Thai students, those that were ready to go to study to Italy, but also to Thai people who was about to move to Italy and open a business there. I also did modeling and acting. So it was, you know, doing completely different things that I was doing in Italy. And then after 3 years, we decided to start a family. And so we had three kids. So I guess that the creative journey started right after having kids, because when I was pregnant of my second one, I launched a blog. And since having my first kid, actually, I was very interested in knowing children fashion, knowing new brands, because, you know, it was a world for me that didn't exist before. I didn't have kids, so I didn't matter. But once I had my own kids, I was attracted and I was very curious to find out new brands and mainly independent brands, very unique and creative. And so I launched this blog called Small Little. If my longtime follower are listening to this, probably will remember, because this is also how I started. I started Instagram, and so in my blog I was featuring, as I said, brand from Europe, but also from all over the world, also from Australia. And I was featuring at the same time kids interior and kids decor. And I was having so much fun at decorating my kids' bedrooms. And I always shared this process, whether it was on my blog or on my Instagram. And you know, I created a community around that. So the interior, even though it was mainly focused on fashion, because, you know, I thought I cannot do what I was doing before, but I still had this background in PR. So creating my own blog was like kind of doing something little for the pleasure to do it, to keep me busy and have fun at the same time. And also, I was happy at that time. I didn't really think to find a full-time job. I was happy to be with my kids and to have this blog, to have something to do. And, you know, so this is actually how everything.
Yeah, it's and I think I recall that when you started to do the course, that maybe your email, or there was something, maybe even your Instagram handle was still had those words, and that you have now sort of transitioned to using your own name. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had a different name. It was Nico Small Little.
That's right.
Yeah, because and then I think 2 years ago, something like that, I decided to change it, because I was taking a different path. Well, not a different path, but you know, I grew into something else, and so I thought that my own name would represent better what I was doing right now, what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, I mean, it was around the time when you did the course. I'd really love if you could kind of just share a little bit of an insight into why you decided to do the course, and kind of some of the key things that you learned in that time.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, I always tell you, the best decision ever, because you know, during these years, since I started Instagram, I was styling. It was more on focused on, as I said, on fashion, but also on kids' interior. But I was styling, and you know, I never learned. I never took a specific course to learn that. It was just having fun. I also noticed that people were kind of interested in how I was styling, how the things I was doing, and so at some point, I before actually doing your masterclass, I think 2 years before, I took another workshop. And I think that was also the beginning of the process that took me where I am now. This workshop, basically, it happened that I was in Italy in that month, that I'm usually not. And two of my favorite Igers were given a styling and photography workshop in Berlin. And, you know, in Europe, it's so easy to travel. They have always these low-cost flights that you quickly jump on a plane and go. And I went. And I went, and it was very important because I developed my photographic eye, and I learned a lot. So on those 2 years before doing your masterclass, I grew a lot because my photography got better, and so I was. And I was kind of, I was also kind of growing my styling skills as well. But so at some point, when I came across your masterclass, I said, I feel like, so the photography is kind of okay now, but I feel like I have to improve my styling skills. And so that's how I said, I think this is the right course for me. And you know, it wasn't just something like I saw in one day and I decided, because I was following you for, I think for a few months, for probably for a year. And you know, I think Instagram is such a great tool in terms that when you get to know and read more about that person, you also feel more confident to buy something, you know, from from them, because you kind of know that person who's behind, who's going to teach you. Because I like searched on the website, and you know, you always have many online courses that you can do from schools, for example, from university or. But you never know who's going to be your teacher, so you don't know what kind of experience you're going to get. So for me, Instagram, for both these two experiences, were great because I kind of already know who was going to be my coach.
It's so important, isn't it? Yeah, it's much about the person's personality and their kind of aesthetic. Like it's, you know, I think you can still learn from somebody even if you have a different aesthetic. But I think it can really accelerate the process and just to have the similar kind of values, I guess, as well. Like, you know, if somebody's into, you know, just go and buy everything, you know, like I'm never about that. And I think, you know, to actually trying to work with what you've got is such a good skill. And whereas somebody might have a different approach. So if you really understand the way that somebody approaches something, it's really invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd love to know so who were the people who, people you went to see in Berlin, because we can include that in the show notes as well. Who are they?
Oh, Anna Kor and Simone.
Oh, yes.
And Simone Olish. I think you pronounce her surname like that. I'm not sure. Fantastic teachers, fantastic Igers. So I was saying that your masterclass was great. Because I really did improve a lot. And you know what? I actually, it's not only the styling skills that I improved, but my confidence. I don't know if you remember in one of the emails, one time I said, when do I know when I'm ready? And and you were like, you are ready. I mean, and ready, when I say ready, I mean I'm ready for throw myself out there and have real clients, you know, and not just styling for myself and for my IG. And so actually, another thing that is thanks to your masterclass is my website. Because I remember that you always encourage us to showcase our pictures that we were taking during our assignments. And I'll tell you another thing. Like 2 years before I did your masterclass, I bought my domain. And I always said, okay, I think I should have a website, I should do something. And for 2 years, I did nothing. I just keep paying this domain with no reason. But, you know, it was meant probably to just hang in there and find the right time for me. And that was the right time. And it really came to use for me when actually the first clients approached me. I said, oh, thank God I did the website. Thank you to Natalie also. And it wasn't just actually the picture I took during your masterclass. When I went through my folders, I found so many pictures that I took over the years, but, you know, probably not meant to share on IG, but they were still good. So, and they're there on showcasing on my website. So yeah, that was great.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, one of the things that I think is so good about doing courses, and I do courses myself, is that it really does force you into action. Whereas it's very easy to, like you say, for 2 years, just to kind of, you know, oh, soon, I'll do it soon. Yeah, I know I've got to do it. Yeah. But when you actually, you know, invest and kind of pay the money to do a course, then you feel more invested in actually getting something out of it and making it the best that it can be. So I completely get that. So since then, the course, you have, as you mentioned, you have kind of taken on some clients. So so how did that all evolve, and what sort of work have you been doing?
So right after the masterclass, I continue to do my IG. And, well, you know, my IG was only for myself. I actually, over the years, I have collaborated with so many brands. And so I was already styling and shooting for them. But it was, you know, just confined in the social media platform. Actually, how I got clients in real life, I don't know. I mean that somebody reached out one day. It was somebody that I already knew, and he asked me, "Would you take clients for interior styling?" And I, of course, said, absolutely, because I was doing on my IG, I was collaborating with brands, but not local brands. So basically was from all over the world, but not Thai brands. And so this one was, was how I got clients, and I was introduced to basically decorate their homes, and now it's been since last summer. Actually, you know, funny to say, but Corona was kind of a lucky time for me, because usually during summertime, I'm never in Thailand. I go back home in Italy. And so last year I was stuck here, and that's how basically job opportunities keep coming, just because I was stuck here. And yeah.
And so I wonder, because I do have some students who do the course, or, you know, sort of reach out to me, who are an expat living in another country. So how do you, if you're doing, you know, somebody's home, or, you know, even sort of styling your own home? I mean, obviously, I realize now, you know, there is so much that you can get via online shopping. But do you try and work with local companies as well? Or how do you kind of source things when you're working on interior projects as an expat in a sort of another country?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not possible to just buy online and to source from abroad because Thailand anyway has still very high import taxes. So every time it's like, let's say 80% local, and maybe, you know, if you want something unique, or for example, last year I was styling this apartment and the style of the apartment was all Scandinavian. You know, we can find a lot of Scandinavian furniture here, but if you want that that decorative item, then you have to buy online. And so we kind of balance because in terms of cost, of course, you can't spend a fortune to just buy and bring in. And so, yeah, I work a lot with local brands. Like right now, I'm following a new project and it's only local. There's not import at all.
That's great though, isn't it? You know, that you can do that.
Yeah. But you know, Thailand, it's great. It's such a great country for, you can source anything. And they have great artisans, and whatever you want to custom made is there available for you. So it's really, really great.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I think, you know, you do really well is you've got a really beautiful feed on Instagram, and I guess maybe all of those years of blogging helped hone your eye perhaps a little bit, but how can you just share a little bit about what you choose to share on Instagram in terms of, you know, the types of images, the types of spaces, you know, sharing photos of yourself sometimes. I know lots of people struggle with that. And can you just sort of share a little bit about how you use Instagram and how it helps you?
You know, Instagram has been changing since I started, because before it was something that you really take a photo and share, not really thinking about styling great things behind a picture. And also it was more on my family lifestyle at the beginning, so it was also easy to take picture of my kids. Sometimes they were, of course, posts that I style because I have to showcase products or a new brand. But now it's for me it's different. Also because I grew as a photographer. I grew as a stylist, so I kind of want really the perfect picture, because for me Instagram has to be a place where I share beauty, and I think it's always been like that for me. Not really raw moments or messy moments of my life. I have those one every day, so I keep it for myself. But I love Instagram as a creative outlet, and so I really don't mind to look at someone else's house when it's really well styled. You know, sometimes I have read comments in other accounts that like, how can you have your house always like that? Why do you don't share real life? But, you know, everybody decides to do what he wants to do with their own accounts. And I, for example, I'm a person that I prefer to see beauty on this platform. And so that's how I structure my Instagram. And I also now I think you need to be, you have to think about what you write. So you have to curate more your captions as well. So I try to give tips, to give interior tips, styling tips, and probably sometimes also photography tips. And yeah, so that's how I use my Instagram to be online portfolio for me to showcase. And because also I give my Instagram handle to clients to have a look, I invite them to say, if you want to know me better and know my style, just have a look at my Instagram, because I also give my website. But, you know, the website, it's just a static portfolio, right? So you can get the idea of your aesthetic in a professional way. But Instagram give you that insight into the person you are. So it's more real for some reason, right? I found it more complete. If you want to know me, not just as a professional, but also as a human being, you come to my Instagram and see.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. And it's sort of, yeah, it feels more real, and people, I think, get a better idea as well of like how you might even work and what your approach to work is, and
exactly.
Yeah, all of those things.
Yeah.
So do you use filters, or do you just edit in images individually? Like, because obviously you've got a very strong visual aesthetic on your feed.
No, I don't use filters. I told you now I grew as a photographer, so I shoot in RAW. I shoot with a real camera, and then I do the post-production on Lightroom. So yeah, I'm very happy that I found my own photography style. So I don't rely on filters anymore. Yeah.
They're very beautiful. So are you adjusting a little bit though, things like the contrast and
I do the editing on Lightroom. I balance the white and then highlights, shadows, exposure, and
that definitely looks beautiful. And so what about now, like in terms of how you structure your days and your weeks? You know, I presume your children, they're still at school, is that right?
Yeah, they're in school. You know, I'm such a bad planner. I mean, I do plan my week and my days, so I know what's going on during the week and the things I have to do, but I'm not that kind of obsessed that I do everything, try to do everything in the morning, and then if I have time during the afternoon before the kids come from school, I will try to shoot my home for my IG. But sometimes when I'm really busy, I don't really have time to plan the shooting in between. So it really depends. I just live week by week and then I plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, there's beauty in the spontaneity of that. I've got some questions here to ask you. They're just sort of general questions that I ask everybody. So just whatever kind of comes to mind, we'll go through some of those. Okay. That's always one of the last things that I do. So which five words best describe you?
Okay, I would say determined, creative, definitely daydreamer, introvert, and unfortunately stubborn. Yeah.
I can relate to some of those, don't worry.
Okay, good.
What's the best life or career lesson you've learned?
Well, you know, in Italy we say, all the roads bring to Rome. And this really describes me, because, you know, it means that you can take the short way or you can take the long way. Both, they will end up at the same place. And I am totally the classical example that it took such a long journey to get where I am now. And for me, that one is a life lesson, because it means, like, not always everything has to come straight forward. So it's not like, okay, I went to study interior design and then I was straight working out of the school, straight working into the industry. For me, it wasn't like that. And that, it doesn't mean if you don't do that, you will not get there. You know what I mean? So before heading in my way to Rome, I passed mountains, I passed rivers, I passed seas, but I eventually got there. And so I basically found my way along the way. And if I look back, probably I wouldn't want it any other way. For me, all the events that happened in my life, they were great events that took me by hand and walked me along the path.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I love the way that Italians explain things. It's always so poetic. It's so beautiful. Thank you. So what's your proudest career achievement so far?
Okay. I don't know if I even can talk about career, actually. But I have to say that I don't have one particular achievement, but I have many small ones. And for me, those proud moments were when every time I was doing something, for example, my blog, I got featured so many times in blogs or in magazines or in other people accounts. And for me, those were proud moments. Probably one that I recall and I'm really the proudest is when I shot my kids for the first issue of a Korean lifestyle magazine. And so that was, I still have the magazine. That was, I think, 4 years ago, something like that. So that really is a proud moment, to see your own kids and your own picture on the first issue of this family magazine. I couldn't read a word because it's all in Korean, but I know what we were talking about, because it was kind of an interview to my kids that I sent in English and then they translated. And probably another proudest moment is now that I'm the project I'm following now is it's the construction of rental home, a luxury rental home, and I am there not only to curate the interior styling but also directing the visual creative concept. So this one is really probably one of my biggest moments right now. So I can't wait. I'm slowly sharing on my IG, and I can't wait to show the final result. That it will be, I think, end of June, we should be done with this beautiful villa, because it's the concept is so beautiful. It's a villa built in a historical part of Bangkok, and it's on the river. So it comes with a story. And so, yeah, I'm very happy to be part of this project.
Yeah, I've loved seeing the little snippets that you've been sharing with that. Yeah. What's been your best decision? Gosh, I struggle with that word sometimes. Yeah. What's been your best decision?
Definitely invest money and time in something that improved tremendously my skills, and that is photography and styling. Yeah.
Mm. That's good. Who inspires you?
You know, all the greatest and timeless designers and architects of the past, especially those belonging to the mid-century. I have a huge passion for those designs, and I'm really amazed how still today, something that they designed in the 50s or in the 60s, they're still produced and they're still so iconic. And so, yeah, those designers for me are definitely my big inspiration.
What are you passionate about? You know, it could be in general or, yeah, anything. What are you passionate about?
I think I'm really passionate about creating interiors and home that are not only beautiful, but also livable. So I really love to combine the aesthetic and functionality. And this is also how I approach my client. I always say, you want to buy beautiful, beautiful furniture, but let's not only buy those. I mean, let's not have that showroom look. I hate when a home is just look like a showroom, that you took furniture from a shop and you put it in your place. No, I like to create beauty, but also furniture that tells a story, and so they are really things that you really will use in your everyday life.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree completely. What dream do you still want to fulfill?
This is a big one. I don't think I will ever fulfill this, but, you know, I would love to see my interior photographs on interior magazines. But I know it's this one is going to be, it has to be a long way, and it's not an easy path. But, yeah, that is really a big, big, big dream, probably more than styling houses.
I think you can do it. I just need to put you in contact with the right people.
Okay.
Yeah. What are you reading? Are you reading any books or design books at the moment?
Look, I have 4 books on my side table that I keep rotating. And so I'm very in a very slow pace. I'm sometimes, you know, at nighttime, I'm so tired, I don't have the power to read. But I have these 4 books, and it's one is Just Kids by Patti Smith.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah, and the other one is The Year of Magical Thinking by Joanne Didion. I love her.
Oh, yes, I've read that. Yep.
Yeah, I love her. And then I have this small booklet about the life of Henri Cartier-Bresson, so that I like to read from time to time. It's all about his career as a photographer. And then I have this, The Baron in the Trees by Calvino, that it's sometimes I catch up with it, this one too.
Mm-hmm. There's some good books there. I always have like, yeah, half a dozen on my bedside table that I kind of rotate depending on what mood I'm feeling.
Yeah, good.
What podcasts are you listening to? Do you listen to any, and what are some of the ones that you enjoy?
Absolutely. I told you I'm a podcast listener, so I have many actually that I listen at least once a week. Well, you know, of course, I listen to your imprint for every time I need the slow home and sustainability fix. I come and listen to your episodes. They're really great. I really love your podcast. Then I listen to Design Time by Domino Magazine for everything about design. Yeah, and also I love their interviews from the masters. It's really, really great. Then I listen to More Than One Thing by Athena Calderon because, you know, who doesn't love Athena Calderon and her style? And then I have another great one, Scandinavian Mind, that I found out recently. And he's on how lifestyle and technology intertwine in every field. So that can be fashion, design, or publishing, or gaming, and so on. And I really love the interviews. But other than that, this is a more like design related. Other than that, I listen podcasts on parenting, or like there's another one called Courage and Spice, if I'm not wrong. And it's about your self-doubt.
What's that one called?
Courage and Spies, if I'm not wrong. Yeah.
Okay. You'll have to send me the link to
that
one.
I will. It's it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you sound like, like you're me. You listen to a lot of podcasts.
I do.
No, it's all good.
I also listen about politics, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Italian politics or general world
it's
politics?
Actually, no, it's a particular one. It's an Italian journalist that talks about American politics and how to, how to understand what it is behind the American politics. It's so interesting, and I love it. And I listen in Italian, so it makes it also easier for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. And finally, what piece of advice would you give to your younger self?
Okay, probably a few years ago, I would say to myself to go and study architecture. But then if I look at myself now, you know, I think architecture, I love it. Because the process to design a home, but it's also very technical. If you know what I mean, like interior styling is more creative. So probably I am more for a creative rather than technical drawings and, you know, everything that comes with being an architect. So. I don't know. I don't have any advice for my younger self. I think I'm very happy with the journey that I've done by far. So
yeah, no, that's a good place to be. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to cross time zones and all of that sort of thing to be able to make this conversation happen. It's so great to hear, learn a little bit more about your story. And I always think it's interesting to, when you sort of know people through Instagram and social media and you know, and obviously you get a little bit of an insight, but it's never long form. And that's what I really enjoy about these interviews is when you get a chance to sort of learn a little bit more in depth about, you know, the journey that people have been on and how they came to be where they are today. I've really loved it. Thank you.
Absolutely. I agree. I love podcasts. I listen to them. So it's a great insight to know people and to listen to them. So thank you so much for having me, Natalie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. I hope you enjoyed listening to Nicoletta and more about her story. Don't forget that if you enjoyed this episode, to subscribe, rate and review, and maybe share it with a friend who might enjoy it too. All of the links and info you need to access for this episode are at nataliewalton.com/podcast. Thank you to Jaeger Media for producing this podcast and the people of the Bundjalung Nation where it was recorded. I look forward to connecting again soon. I'm Natalie Walton, and you've been listening to Imprint.